may never look at city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm looking at our monitors. I'm looking at myself just sitting there. It's interesting. You got an email here to thank you, Steve. Thank you. Let me just bring this up. I'm not going to go any further than Steve from the Cleveland, Ohio area. Okay, so you can rest assured, Steve. I'm not going to breach any confidences. I've been hearing a couple of things, and the reason I'm citing your email is because I have been hearing this. You're not alone, and we're attempting to get the word out. I'll just end it there. But write Steve, ladies and gentlemen, write Steve, and again, you've got to understand this is Ohio, where the RNC is going to be held next month. Steve writes this, I just wanted to tell someone who would listen. An event took place this past Saturday. Yeah, the same day as the Florida incident. Well, that incident took place Sunday morning, to be precise, starting at 2 a.m. Now, here's what happened on Saturday, June 11th, just right before 1 o'clock in the afternoon in or around Cleveland, Ohio. Steve witnessed three men of Middle Eastern appearance who were casing a gun store, a weapons store. Now, this Steve was in a position to see these men. And he says, look, these weren't normal guys. He's got the experience. He was in the service. Yeah. 8+ years. And you know, folks, when you look at something and it doesn't seem quite right, well, Steve had secured some documentation. Let's just put it that
Great.
Way. All right.
Great.
So then, now these three Middle Eastern men were wearing backpacks. And anyway, Steve went to the police that day.
Was he arrested for a hate crime?
Yeah, but you know what? He was turned away. He said, "They said, look, we're not interested." Now, Steve, if you're listening to this, and I suspect you are, we'll be in contact, all right? Because we do on a number of issues. And I want to thank you for that information. It is consistent with other situations where. Facilities or stores that sell weapons and ammunition have been under surveillance by men of Middle Eastern appearance, or you know, Arab men.
The actual place that sold the guns to this shooter in Orlando did not was not asked by the ATF to close their doors today. They had to close their doors on their own without direction from the ATF for the ATF to be able to complete their investigation. And this leads into a possibility of a second man being apprehended, as you stated earlier in the program, that police are actively looking for a for an accomplice. From WFTV news and WFTV.com, breaking source, arrest to be made soon, an alleged accomplice of the Pulse massacre in a different part of the state of Florida.
Interesting. Now, we can suspect as well the father. Now, this is not the intelligence information that, that we received. And Josh, you want to mic up? I'll just cut in here with this. Eric the Tech will be back in force tomorrow. Eric, if you're listening to this as you're driving, be careful. Be careful. You got precious cargo.
Oh, we should take a poll. Let's see if the audience wants Eric back or if Josh should stay on.
Just kidding, Eric. This could be a mutiny here. I don't know.
I talked to Eric before the show. He said he will be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he misses everybody.
Of course. And Josh is doing a good job at the helm. And we're going to get Josh's take on a few things here in a moment. But look, the father of Omar Mateen should be, in at least in my view, there are a number of things that he could be charged with, as well as others, including local imams in Orlando. And that's misprison of a felony, which is, you can look it up under 18 U.S.C. Section 4. Whoever having knowledge of the actual commission of a felony that's recognized by U.S. law and conceals that fact or doesn't make that known to law enforcement officials is, in fact, guilty of misprison of felony and should be fined and imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. That's under 18 U.S.C. 4, which in our view, the father certainly would qualify, but the other suspect is not the father. It is an actual colleague, for lack of a better word.
Did you hear the father issue an apology?
No.
He did. He issued an apology. And I did not hear it from his mouth, but it was paraphrasing what was reported is that he was, devastated and sorry for the carnage that his son caused. But what was absent from the statement that was read that I did not hear him speak are things like what we're hearing about his wife. His wife knew he was violent and allegedly, continuing to move towards the radicalization to the point of carrying out a terrorist attack. His wife knew he was at Disney World scouting the right location out. I believe his dad also had an idea that he was becoming radicalized to the point of violence as well.
Well, yeah, I don't have any doubt in my mind that his father knew of the intent. I don't know if he knew of the actual plans, but he knew of the intent. Now, how will this affect us? And this is extremely important here in the United States. And I can see this on a global level. We're seeing countries like Canada, just to pick one, that is adhering to this philosophy. And Don H., thank you so much for your email to point this out. We saw this earlier and marked it up here to tell people. But here in our state, Senator Bob Casey, United States Senator Robert Casey, the son of the former governor, announced that he's introducing legislation that would keep guns out of the hands of those who commit criminal acts based on hate. Now, folks, here, you got to follow this, and you have to understand where this is going. The Hate Crimes Prevention Act would prohibit the purchase, possession, shipment of a firearm by anyone convicted of a misdemeanor hate crime. A misdemeanor hate crime.
And we know these definitions are so vast.
Right.
and are so objective, they can basically, I could say I don't like the color of Italy's flag and be a hate monger.
That's correct. Now, the language here is also to prohibit the sale of firearms to anyone, now listen to this, reasonably suspected to be guilty of a misdemeanor hate crime.
Reasonably suspected
yes,
to be guilty?
Yes.
You're either guilty of a crime or you have not. You've either been convicted or you're awaiting a trial for the charges that were charged against, filed against you, or you have not been convicted of a crime.
This is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you're looking at thought crime here.
But that's a violation.
Yeah, he's also calling for other actions to prevent gun violence, including a ban on, and I quote, military-style weapons, limits on magazine sizes, ban on the terrorist, banning anyone on the terrorist watch list from purchasing firearms and universal background checks.
Now, they already do that with the terror watch list.
Right, but
would they send their weapons to? How would they ban weapons? How would they be able to support ISIS?
Exactly. Yeah, well, there you have it.
But even a general today, and I don't mean to interrupt.
Well, I just want to close this off by saying this is directed at Christians who speak the word of God. And the story, this is about Christians. Go on.
A top U.S. general today, top Army general drops bombshell about Obama as he resigns. A top U.S. Army general with nothing left to lose has publicly admitted something that conservatives have been saying for a long time. The rise of the Islamic State terror group can directly be attributed to President Barack Obama's premature withdrawal of military forces in Iraq. Outgoing Army Chief Staff General Ray Ordino told Fox News Wednesday that a continued U.S. troop presence in the region would have kept Iraq on a positive track. It's frustrating to watch, he said. I go back to 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010, and bottom line, what he says, Obama created ISIS.
Well,
and not only that, built it up, funded it, armed it, and then they quit.
And he
made comments, the outgoing general said that the intentional collapse of Iraq gave rise to the Islamic State, which was something they knew was going to happen, that
right.
This uprising would come from the collapse. And the dangerous balancing act right now with capability is growing, and it's no surprise that Obama has presided over the dangerous decline of the American military power in the Middle East as the increase of radicalized terror kill squads have been increasing. And with our backing of Syrian rebels in the beginning of the Arab Spring, turns out, you know, we actually were backing ISIS.
Well, the Western intelligence basically created not just the environment but the architecture for ISIS.
Yeah,
we trained the very people who are operational in ISIS.
Yes,
now,
we did.
Let me toss one more thing here out about this, because we have infiltration by ISIS, by Islamic terrorists in the highest levels of the government, and I would dare say, including the White House, because if people by now don't understand that Obama or Barry Satoru is a Muslim terrorist sympathizer.
Yeah, the CIA is Muslim.
The head of the CIA, John Brennan, is
more Muslim and Muslim Brotherhood connections in the White House than there are in most mosques in the country.
Well, exact. Well,
just in my opinion.
Well, think about this. Again, let's go back to the shooter, Omar Mateen. Think about ISIS infiltrating Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, which is by design, in my view, not by accident. Orlando terrorist Mateen worked for a major DHS contractor. We talked about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. However, now, this gets a little bit deeper. G4S, okay, understanding what this is all about, G4S Secure Solutions USA Inc.,
It's like Blackwater.
Well, right. This Jupiter, Florida-based company in the United States, the U.S. division, merged with Wackenhut after 9/11, and they assumed federal contracts. Now, the G4S supports the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Customs, and Border Protection with its operations at the U.S.-Mexican border and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. So they support ICE, which includes transporting illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, yep, in various urban areas.
So okay, the Omar, who carried out this terrorist attack, was a facilitator of bringing illegal immigrants, correct, in under the radar.
By virtue of his position, right, with G4S, which, by the way, is worth more than $234 million as a corporation. And interestingly enough, you've got Omar Mateen, a terrorist, pledging allegiance to ISIS and working for G4S, whose contract states that one of the performance requirements of this company is to help identify suspected terrorists trying to enter the United States. And he's actually facilitating this very act and employing those who are doing the same thing.
And the contract also states that the personnel should be prepared to carry out acts that the U.S. military will not carry out.
Right.
I mean, leaving that very vague in that statement, that can mean a lot of things, but, you know, stuff that's so too small for them to carry out, or stuff that's too horrific that they would never carry out. And not to interrupt your train of thought, but back to the Hillary against guns, why Hillary Clinton's strongest issue is actually her biggest farce. I stated $150 million in weapon sales, but in fact, Hillary Clinton has sold more weapons than George W. Bush in his second term. This is not mentioned by the U.S. News, but the International Business Times discovered the Clinton State Department sold $165 billion in weapons to 20 separate countries from October 2010 to September 2012.
Oh, yeah, but we can't mention that, of course.
$151 billion worth of weapons through the Pentagon broker deals, through 16 different countries, all of which have donated to the Clinton Foundation.
Interesting. Well, now we're seeing other things breaking right now or happening right now. Paris police officer and wife stabbed to death, attacker pledged. Yep. We've got a hostage situation apparently taking place in Paris.
In West Virginia, there's an active shooter.
Right.
Daytona Beach as well. We were talking about that during the break.
Yeah, yep, yep. So, we are seeing these kinds of attacks. I don't want to say lone wolf attacks, but attacks by Islamic terrorists and those who sympathize with ISIS and other such Islamic terrorist groups. And you cannot, it's very difficult to separate Islamic terror or terrorism from Islam, okay? You really can't do it, no matter how hard both Clinton and Obama and every other progressive liberal Luciferian are attempting to do so, all right? So the people here, the Islamic terrorists inside the United States who have been allowed and placed here, facilitated, transported by the likes of Mateen and others and companies that like G4S and others are here for a reason, and they will become active in my estimation, in our view. They will become active, and they will this will be not a regular occurrence but a continual occurrence, not just at throughout the United States and all throughout the West. Now, Josh, let me ask you, you've been monitoring, Josh, you've been monitoring all of the social networking applications.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on in that realm, in that venue, the social networking? And we're talking to Josh, he's my stepson, and he's filling in for Eric the Tech. By the way, Josh has got a very successful business.
Yeah.
He's extremely successful, and he doesn't have to do this. He certainly is just doing us a favor. But so what's the word on the social networking side of things? Because I don't follow that unless there's a reason to.
It's kind of hard to vet all of that information because everybody kind of has their own opinion. I have seen reports that say, you know, I had a friend that said there was multiple shooters.
Right.
I've seen reports that say that some of the people were shot as many as 11, 12, 13 times.
I've seen that. At least one report of 11, one person shot 11 times.
Which is kind of hard to imagine coming from just one shooter. Possible, you know, being that the frequency that you can fire the rounds out of an AR. But, you know, it's just a lot of calls for gun control, a lot of argument back on the other side of that as well. It's just kind of hectic trying to go through all the posts that you see out there and all the rhetoric that it causes.
What about the choice of targets being a homosexual entertainment nightclub? What's the barometer reading out there in the social networking? And folks, just to say this, our prayers go out to the victims' families. Certainly, they are in our thoughts and prayers. But the question needs to be asked. I mean, what is there? I mean, is the choice of venues, the victimology in this, the fact that there this man decided to target a homosexual nightclub, is that being discussed with any level of intensity on social networking?
Well, the argument that's being formed is that it gives credence to call this a hate crime instead of act of terrorism.
Which
is clearly an act of terrorism. There's no question about that.
What do you think if this man who carried the attack out actually was a homosexual himself?
Again,
you think they would just paint that as a hate crime and not report that?
Or bisexual, you know?
Right. You know, he's married with a child.
But yeah,
divorced. I don't know.
And it said he's frequented that bar on several occasions.
Reports that he's been there multiple times, and he would get so drunk and loud and obnoxious that, you know, on a couple occasions they may have asked him to actually leave the facility. So you know, it's just very hard to tell at this point. It's too early in the game. I just, you know, carrying out an assault of that magnitude inside of a club, just. You know, there had to be planning involved. You know, it's hard to say, I guess.
Well, I noticed one thing on the social media, that Twitter had banned a user calling for Mosque Watch. All right. Now, game developer, Breitbart reporter on this, game developer Mark Kern was banned on Twitter for saying, and I quote, "Radical mosques should be surveilled or should be placed under surveillance." I've got a motto, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies under surveillance. But Twitter has joined Facebook and Reddit in the latest post-Orlando hall of shame. According to Breitbart, they've become the latest social media platform to censor users for discussing the Islamic terrorist attack or anything related to it. And Mark Kern, who's this video game developer, worked on the original edition of World of Witchcraft, I guess it was suspended from Twitter today for saying, hey, you know what? I don't see why mosques with radical leanings should be excluded from surveillance when the rest of us get our emails collected by the NSA. That's what he said on Twitter, and bang, Twitter says, no, you can't say that, and gone is his account. So what's your take on that?
I just think the censorship is getting out of control. You know, you search on Google, who knows? You know, you're trying to dig for information, trying to look up backgrounds, trying to research, do due diligence on some of these topics that are coming up, and who knows what Google is filtering out that you cannot see? Who knows what?
Good point.
Who knows what Twitter and Facebook are filtering out that you cannot see? Because we look at it as just a standalone platform that when you search something, you're going to get the results that you're looking for. But you got to remember, there's people on the other end that are controlling the code in those searches.
No, you're so right. It just came out last week.
Well, you did a Josh. You did a
Yeah, and, you know, just by digging around, you can actually find that if you were to search for Hillary Clinton CRI,
yep,
in Google,
instead of crime.
instead of pulling up like or her possible criminal activities, it's saying Hillary Clinton crime record, Hillary
yeah, crime
Clinton,
reform,
Clinton,
yeah.
crime reform, crime prevention. Whereas if you go onto Bing or Yahoo, the first things that come up are Hillary Clinton possible, you know, being indicted and
yeah,
leans a completely different direction. So,
you and they're know, doing looking, the opposite with
yeah,
Trump,
right? And it's the exact opposite with Trump. But when you go on to dig into the Google Analytics and go down to actual look at what the actual search, the entire search completed phrase is, that nobody's searching for Clinton's 94 crime record. Everybody wants to know when is this woman going to be arrested and indicted. It's just you got to realize that if it's not coming from a news source such as you and Joe, you're not getting 100%
well, yeah, the
accurate
media. That's
yeah,
right.
If
yep,
it's not, it's filtered and it's being you're being directed. And it's helping to formulate your thoughts, and it's just it's incredible. And once you if you spend a few hours a day looking at this information, that it's just it's really just remarkable that there's somebody out there on the other you know on the other side of the computer fixing everything.
And it's not just people now. It's algorithms through,
it's
through
yeah,
robots.
And,
yeah,
right. And they're trying to formulate the masses' opinion. They're, you know, they're trying to get entire populations to lean one way or another.
Yes.
Which, you know, who knows if you're over if you're overseas or you're in Europe and you do the same type of searches on other search engines, you're going to get a completely different understanding. Of that information. And even when you watch Fox News or MSNBC, which is, in my opinion, very easy to distinguish the differences, you have, you know, Fox News headline is worst terrorist attack since 9/11. You look on MSNBC, it says worst mass shooting in U.S. history. So you just have to see the narratives that are being formed on each side, and they're just it's just a political agenda, a conglomerate political agenda that is being pushed. And in my opinion, it's just there's the elitists that are playing both sides of the coin. They're not going to lose either way
right.
It goes. They're involved on both aspects, so they're in a win-win situation no matter what happens.
It's easy to control when you play both sides.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well,
very good observation.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from the social media angle here in the West, and of course, knowing just disclosing Breitbart saying that, hey, this game developer wrote, and I'll just repeat what he wrote. Mark Kern said this on Twitter: "I don't see why mosques with radical leanings should be excluded from surveillance when the rest of us get our emails collected by the NSA.
How dare he?
But a bing, but a bang, suspended from Twitter. Now,
and look at the people that call Trump an avid bigot and racist. And what has he been saying? Keep Islam out.
Yeah, keep the Muslims. Yeah,
those
right,
who come
right,
in.
Right.
Uphold the Second Amendment.
Yes.
All of which would have added to the prevention or lessening of this attack.
Well,
what do the Democrats say?
That
make gun-free zones
right,
and ban
right,
guns.
Right.
Why do you think none of the 100 people that were shot in that nightclub had a gun on them? They were probably following the law.
That's right. And, okay, another question is, why didn't anybody charge the shooter
with I mean even though he was killed charge him with what
no charge run after him charge
oh yeah yeah
you know
yeah.
When you're in a situation
that's the brainwashing the brainwash mentality of shelter in place
and
know?
It goes back to hide under your desk and
all
of a nuclear bomb
is and you can use whether Flight 93 the movie
right
as the heroic passengers charged the alleged hijackers and saved, you know, the White House or some major building from being hit, allegedly, as the narrative goes. But why? Why is somebody behind the shooter? Unless there were multiple shooters where somebody could not discern where all the shooting was coming from, not putting their life in danger to tackle somebody from behind, knowing there's another person with a gun shooting people as well.
Right.
That could be a big reason.
I think you have to think as well. You do have to realize and think about it from the aspect of, if nobody's caring, it's more than likely, you know, it's 2 a.m. and it is a nightclub, so there's a lot of alcohol involved, and no bar or nightclub is going to let you in with a weapon.
In Florida, you lived in Florida for a while. Is there is 2 o'clock the last call? Do they do that?
No, the clubs in Florida typically are open until 3, 4, 5,
okay.
5 in the morning. 2 o'clock is kind of like the prime hour, I guess.
Yeah, I was wondering.
For a nightclub in that area.
Usually, bars, especially here in this town, you know, they're clearing out.
Yeah,
by 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Elsewhere, that's usually closing time. But down in Florida, that's kind of the time that everything's getting getting pretty busy. But at the same time, all of those clubs and any of those places that you would go to at that time of night are gonna have security to get. You're gonna have to go through security to get in the door. They're not just gonna let you walk in there with an AR-15 and loaded handgun. So unless the shooter ran out, came up shooting immediately, fought his way in,
could he have assembled it in the nightclub?
I have no idea.
I've never seen an AR-15 disassembled, so I don't know how easy it would be.
You've taken a.
I've taken guns apart.
Josh has field stripped an AR.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it in the bar.
Yeah, I own 2.
And he didn't shoot his way in.
It would be fairly simple to put together. Most of the newer age models are, you know, a couple pins and that you just push and release, and you can have it disassembled in 3 parts in 20 seconds. So.
But still, you know,
but still,
at least a lot
of
to
ammunition.
Be answered. Yeah.
A lot of ammunition, and it's a lot of stuff to try to get into the club.
Now, some people will say, look, a .223 can penetrate and wound more than one person. So,
the right circumstances,
yeah.
The right shot at the right,
right
part of the body, I can see that, yeah.
Now, 30-round magazines, some people will say 7. 8 would do the trick, but still, the loaded 30-round magazines are what they weigh. What do you think? Pound and a half?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
so you're gonna be carrying maybe upwards of 10 pounds of ammo, maybe on a vest. Ordinary pockets will allow for 6 to 8 magazines, BDU pants, depending on what he was wearing. You know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, again, this goes back to the math.
And aside from going into the club, breaking in and or finding a way for someone to stash the long gun, the rifle, in there for him, I just don't see him hiding it under his shirt or pants and walking in there. I don't see him.
I think
him.
He just blazingly went in there with it.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't remember hearing stories of, you know, the shooting started outside as he worked his way inside. The shooting started from inside the club after he probably paid a cover charge.
No, I don't think he stopped to pay a cover charge.
Okay, well, that's my question. Did the shooting start, you know, as
I think
he
took out
the guard. Door?
He took out the guard.
Okay.
There was an unarmed, I shouldn't say unarmed, there was a off duty, is what I meant to say.
From what I'm understanding, it was almost like he was there having a drink or a drink, and at some point just went, you know, haywire and started shooting after he was already inside as a patron. Observing what was going on. But if he was coming from the street and started his assault at the door, that makes much more sense.
Right, and I think we have a tendency to rely too much on the first reports. And Sometimes simple is best, and simple is the right answer. By the way, I was just informed by Kenneth T. that Austin Brower today during on the Common Sense Show did a really great breakdown of the number of rounds fired in conjunction with the number of casualties, plus the weight of that many rounds that needed to be carried and reloading times. So if you have the opportunity, definitely go back to the archive of Ted Brower. The Ted Brower show
comes on after today. Our show.
Well, yes, it's going to be replayed after our show. So, thank you, Ken. I did not get a chance to listen to it today. I was otherwise busy. This from Linda: 7 weeks, 49 days, 49 killed. First fruits to Pentecost shooter Omar. Counting the Omer, or in parentheses Omar, thoughts. Don't have any at this point. There are, I can guarantee you the numerology plays into this. Now,
this happened on the 11th or the 12th, actually, right?
The 12th. This is correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, the there is a significant that's 666. If you have six,
right?
The 1-2 is 3. The 2-1-3, that's 6 and 6. It does equal 666.
No, it doesn't. No.
June is a 6 month. Yeah. And you have 1-2, that's the 12th, that's 3. Then you have 2-1 for 201, that's 3. So,
oh, okay,
6-3-3-6.
Okay.
Three,
yeah,
three,
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. You're correct. But the number 7 and 9, or I'm sorry, the number 9 comes into play. I mean, there are a lot of numbers here, 49. The numerology, do we believe this? Well, no, we believe that other people believe in the numerology behind this. Who cares what we believe? All right, seriously, it doesn't matter. It's what they believe, and that speaks to their motivation. But trust me when I tell you that our sources, my one law enforcement source had stated this. And this is the same person who stated that there will be an arrest and. Did we report that before Drudge put it up? Because
you mentioned it, not knowing it was up on a headline.
Okay,
it was
yeah.
reported before Drudge put it up, but I think
okay.
it was coming out just before the show started.
All right. Well, then my apologies.
And it's now being reported that he did visit the club dozens of times before the massacre, that he used a gay dating app that was on his phone.
Okay.
So is this maybe more of a... self-hate, domestic violent situation, or is this actually being used as a terrorist with a terrorist cover, or was this a terrorist attack? It just seems very odd to me that the man was married at a kid but frequented a gay nightclub and had a gay dating
nightclub.
App on his site.
Homosexual.
I'm reading the headline.
Okay.
Used gay dating app.
All right. And that's not to be mean. That's to be precise in terms of our language, all right?
Yeah, and that's not my language. That's the news language that I'm reading from.
Now, I want to point this out. WorldNet Daily is reporting this, and we had taken to the airwaves yesterday and explaining the larger picture behind this attack, and this is really the crux of everything, the epicenter of what's going on. Alex Jones had done a... YouTube video, I think it was today, saying that the attacks in Orlando were a false flag terror attack. Now, again, we have to define false flag and understand what the definitions are. That aside, okay, he said that while Omar Mateen, the man behind the murders, he was actually born in the United States. He's actually part of the tsunami of Islamic invasion taking place in the West right now. Our government and the governments of Europe allowed these huge hordes of Islamic terrorists in.
Yeah,
and they allowed them without vetting them on record.
Last month, 1,037 Syrian immigrants, 2 Christians, 1,035 Muslims.
Right. Right, and London, this is at the behest of the executive branch.
London elected their first Muslim mayor.
Right, and it's okay.
Implementing Muslim-type policies as he is banning sexy women in advertisements in London now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is the Islamization of the West.
Yes, yes.
And it's being embraced by the political... brokers of power. It is being created by those who create or run the puppets of power, the presidents, the prime ministers, the heads of state.
It's neuro-linguistic programming and this cultural brainwashing.
Even the Pope compared the conquest of Islam, the inherent conquest of Islam, to the Jesus and his apostles spreading of the gospel.
Okay, Josh, there you go. Do you agree with that now? Silence. He's just shaking his head. We can't hear the...
I think it's brain.
The innards rattling there. But
and I have pages. I wrote probably 4 pages as I was going through the Pope's speech because it got my mind working. This was late at night the other night. I don't have them with me, but hopefully I can make sense of them enough to put them in writing and put something up on the website about this, because this is very important to understand. He not only did the Pope compare the conquest of Islam, the inherent conquest of Islam, to spread to the of Christianity and Jesus and hit the apostles to spread the gospel, but he also called for the Europeans to have babies with the immigrants as the future of our nation needed, of their nation in Europe. The fertility rates have been down for the first over 60% in the last 10 years. And he called for the mixed breeding of the two cultures to bring a more united country.
I was going to say something about the lack of a Trojan horse, but I'll just leave that alone. But
and you know, if people do their, you know how I was talking to you and other guests in the last few weeks about my looking into the different aspects of the Inquisition and the Crusades and Jerusalem and the history after Jerusalem was destroyed until it was Israel was reinstituted. You know, right. in the Crusades, it wasn't Muslim armies that you know came into these areas. They settled as refugees before the Crusades started. Like chess, they put their people in position, then started the conflict.
Very
kind of exactly
so.
What you see today.
Yes.
And I've just touched the surface on that, and I can't speak more on it because I don't have the understanding. But I did learn that the first tactic of the crusade was being a refugee.
Right. And
with the knowing end of, of violence.
Well, I received this, we received a tremendous email from Pamela. And let me just pull this up here. Real quick.
Yeah, we're getting lots of good emails in. So, folks, if we do read your email, we appreciate it, but we appreciate all the emails that are coming in.
This is a an image that was created some time ago. Barack Obama and his fellow Islam followers want to convince Americans that the war on terror is over. In reality, the jihad has reached the second phase, and that is infiltration. And how true is that? All right. Go ahead.
We got an email here I want to address when you're done.
No. Well, don't forget as well the Muslim Brotherhood, the infiltration. Speaking of infiltration, into the Obama regime, 6 American Muslim sympathizers, terrorist sympathizers who work with the Obama regime are Muslim Brotherhood operatives who enjoy strong influence over U.S. policy. We see that taking place in the manuals and DHS. We see this taking place within the State Department. We see it taking place in our intelligence agency. All references to Islamic terrorism have been expunged, or most of them. Even in the military, you
with
cannot.
The DHS, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even talk about. It's ridiculous. You cannot talk about Muslim terrorism, Islamic terrorism.
It's like they scrapped their daddy's car, and now they're about trying to buff out the scratch before anybody notices.
Well, yeah. Think of Barack Obama saying this, that, you know, I am not incompetent. I am destroying America more quickly than anyone thought possible. I am not in over my head. I am advancing totalitarianism right under your noses. I'm not stupid. The stupid are those who fail to see the danger I bring. I'm not failing. I am succeeding at every goal I have set. I am embracing your enemies and rejecting your friends, as we have seen also in Audacity of Hope, page 181, I believe it is, that he would side with the Muslims during an ill wind. I am acting lawlessly and unconstitutionally. I am ignoring your constitution. I am disobeying your laws. Your media is abetting me. Your Congress is not stopping me. And I'll add that they're facilitating him. And those sworn to defend your constitution are not removing me. And lastly, I am fundamentally transforming the United States of America just as I said I would. Your constitution, liberty, freedom, wealth, future, and children are no longer at risk. The risk is past. They are already lost. That's from an image, a poster about Obama sent
and
by
Pamela.
And
it's very true.
Yep.
But, you know, we were in this danger before Obama.
Yep.
And the next president, I feel, will continue to increase that danger.
If you're in that seat, if you're going to retain that seat, you're going to have to conform to the powers.
Yeah. I want to touch on this email.
Go ahead.
And the person who sent this email, Dwayne G, I am not saying anything nasty against you. I just want to use this email to illustrate and make a point. This is the body of the email. I understand Muslims and their desire to dominate the world. But when they're killing sodomites or anybody hanging out with them, why care? I think that is why the Almighty has to destroy this country. The basically good people are too soft-hearted to kill off the lowlife who drags us down into the gutter. Either kill them off or they take you down with them. And I just want to say this. That is what the powers that be and their puppets want as a reaction from Christians. I'm going to quote Matthew chapter 18, verse 14.
All right.
Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell them his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And then it goes into, if he will not hear thee, bring two or three more witnesses. But verily, it ends up, the disciples ask him, Peter asks him, how often shall I forgive my brother in sin? My brother who sins against me. And he says, I say not unto thee until 7 times 7, until 70 times 7. And then he gives a parable of the kingdom of heaven like unto a king. But the point of this is, the Lord does not take pleasure that any should perish. And regardless if somebody is in sin or not, we have all lived in sin and we have all fallen short of the glory. We cannot play into their mindset of hate. Nor can we applaud the death of those we disagree with, whether they're Satanist or whether they're Baptist. Murder is wrong. The Lord is the only judge. And we are told to love all, even our enemy. As much as that hurts and as hard as it is to do, we must always be mindful of that, because that's what God commanded us to do.
Right.
I know our mind wants to think differently and do differently. My mind does too, all the time. This is why it's so important to make sure that we're constantly walking with the Lord, Because when we let our minds wander, when we let thoughts from the devil creep into our head and we expand on those, it will lead us down this road. Yeah, it might seem, I mean, it's like cheering on an abortion clinic that was blown up, you know, while all the abortion doctors were inside.
And we saw that with the assassination of an abortion doctor in Buffalo.
But the people are just going to build another one. The abortions are still going to continue. That's not to say we shouldn't fight against it or protest it. But you can't murder somebody for sin and expect that you're doing a deed for the Lord, because murder is a sin, even if it's the thought of murder. Just like when Jesus said, you know, I have not come to change the law, but expand on it. The law says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, but I tell you, if you even lust after thy neighbor's wife, you have committed adultery. Just like with murder. If you are angry against your brother, you have already committed murder against your brother. And we need to be mindful of these things.
Right. And this does go to the trap that's being laid out there, I think, for a lot of people.
And it's the trap of the soul.
Very much. Very much. Now, I believe homosexuality is a sin, and I believe it's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, this is what I believe. But I also believe that discussion, in conjunction with the shooting deaths at the club, is terribly insensitive, and frankly does not have any. I would not enjoin the two at this point. You're talking about the victims in that club, whatever their behavior might be. And folks, you don't know.
Yeah, we read a story just recently during the break of a woman, a girl who just graduated high school. It was her graduation present to take a vacation down to Florida with her parents. She was going to attend a college, Mercier's College, here in Erie.
Right.
She was killed in the shooting.
And you don't know her sexual orientation or her behavior or her actions, and nor does it matter in the context of the shooting. Here's the bottom line, all right? We do not embrace homosexuality. However, in the strongest terms, we certainly condemn the killing of those people in that club, and anyone, because they are practicing homosexuality. That's wrong. That is against the laws of God.
As Jesus was asked when the people in Jerusalem found and threw a woman who was committing adultery in front of everybody, and they asked, you know, Master, what shall we do? The law says we should stone her. He said, let him without sin cast the first stone.
Okay. But I want to caution people, just as I, and I hope I'm very clear on that, because this is a very complex trap being laid, being placed out there. But but at the same time, I'm going to be very clear that we do not condone, and in the strongest terms, we certainly condemn any violence against homosexuals.
Absolutely.
Because it's not biblical, it's not of God, and we understand these people are mothers or daughters and brothers and sisters and perhaps even mothers, I don't know. But regardless, I hope that's clear. I mean, I just hope that is clear.
Like the transgender law, you know, in Target, for instance, you know, obviously, we disagree with it. We're not going to support it. We're going to tell people to boycott it. We're going to tell people to expose it. But we're not going to go on a killing spree of those people who want to use a different bathroom than their gender identity.
No, but we will expose the pitfalls and pratfalls of the people and expose the dangers associated with that.
Absolutely.
Moral dangers, spiritual dangers, and actual, in reality, real dangers.
And see, this is where the convolution of hate speech comes in. Because exposing evil and calling out what is wrong, that is not the same as wanting to kill or maim or injure anybody who's, you know, going through the practice of that type of sin. We're all guilty of sin at some level. Some people say, you know, sin is, some sins are worse than others, but sin is sin in God's eyes.
And everybody's capable of being saved.
Amen to that. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us. Jerome Corsi, next hour.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.